Thank you very much. Thank you for organizing this wonderful symposium, and it's also been a pleasure meeting a lot of people that I've contacted via email, so this is a great opportunity. I will actually continue. It's a last few questions, but are perfect in sort of like for my talk. And what I wanted to mention, first of all, is a lot of the times when we hear about evolution and Islam, we normally hear about things that make to the newspapers. One thing about the banning of the recent censorship in Turkey about this, or news items like this, Saudis to stamp out Pokemon characters because they thought that, well, one of the problems is that they were based on Darwin's theory of evolution. Or, again, one book that has been mentioned already, and I think it will be mentioned more, The Atlas of Creation, again, from Harun Yahya. So when it was sent to the biologists and anthropologists in the U.S. and to public schools in France, it made big news in, for example, major newspapers covered it and things like that. But whatever I'm going to talk about, first, a disclaimer, because what we are talking about when Islam, there is a huge range. So it's an important question to figure out, well, which Islam we are talking about, which countries we are talking about, because the span is huge. And there are a number of cultural factors, political factors that play into the debate. So this is just a disclaimer. So while I'm putting this slide up, I'm going to move away from it, but this should be in the back of the mind that there is a huge political and cultural range that exists that shapes up and colors the debate in Islam, in the Islamic world. In particular, for example, what Tainer was talking about was more about a lot of about Turkey, and what I'm going to talk a lot about is in Pakistan, and where the political conditions are very different in terms of the state of religion in politics, for example. Let me just give you three key characteristics where the Islamic creationism is coming in. One is that the creation story in the Quran does not provide specific details, specifically in regard to, for example, the age of the earth. So in the Western, when we look at the Western creationism, people generally associate with young earth creationism that the earth is 6,000 or 10,000 year old. Whereas in Islamic creationism, that concept is completely missing. And one of the reasons is because at one place the Quran says, in Quran there is the 6-day creation is there, but at one place the Quran says, well, one day may be 10,000 years, and another place it says, oh, it may be 50,000 years. So it's clear that the length of the day is unclear. It's ambiguous. So the question is that, well, when that information is ambiguous, where do you look for information? And for Muslims, in that context, they have actually looked at the scientific accepted age. And so they said, well, 4.5 billion years old, well, that's fine, because that's what geologists say. No problem regarding that. So the creation story, unlike the biblical creation story in the book of Genesis, it is much vague. The other thing, again, following up on Tainer's thing, that there is this general notion that Islam and science are compatible. Now, usually what is meant by science is technology. But still, there is this standard notion that if you ask anyone in the Islamic world, well, what do you think about, are Islam and science in conflict? And the standard answer would be, no, they're not in conflict. Okay, so that's a dominant narrative that exists. And the third is that evolution, just like most of modern science, is an imported idea for Muslims. It's not coming from within the culture, but it is being imported from late 19th century with the colonial interactions. And evolution also plays a role. So when it is an imported idea, there is baggage associated with. And usually it shows up into the debates regarding, for example, the secularism divide and other things. Now, we don't have good information about what is the acceptance rate, what are the opinions regarding evolution in the Muslim world. But here is a plot, and again, I'm sorry for the small font, but this appeared in Science a few years back, and it looked at most of the Western world. And it included Turkey. The blue bars here, well, I have a
pointer.
Yeah, the blue bars here, that shows the acceptance of evolution, and the red bars are the people who reject it. This graph got most of the attention because of the U.S. U.S. was at the bottom, pretty much second to the bottom, all the way through. And it was like, look how terrible the U.S. is, that it's second to the last. It's only above Turkey. And that's exactly how it was framed. Look how terrible the U.S. is. The only country below it is Turkey. Well, guess what? Well, Turkey is the only Muslim country in there. And nobody was surprised that Turkey was actually below the U.S. It was like, well, hey, it's not a surprise. But look, there should be at least some country. Cyprus? No. Okay, so... Okay, I'll skip the political aspects regarding that. Okay, so here is the spot. Now, so Turkey is around here, it's around like 25% or so. There is another study. This was a sociological study on measuring religiosity in the Muslim world. And it included a question on evolution. The reason why the question was included was because it considered a belief in evolution close to atheism. And so it was included in a study, but the question that was asked was, do you agree or disagree with Darwin's theory of evolution? And this study was conducted in Kazakhstan, Turkey, Indonesia, Pakistan, Malaysia, and Egypt. So while not perfect, it still provides a little bit of a glimpse in terms of the acceptance. And now the acceptance is on the left-hand side. So Kazakhstan is around 35-40% or so. Turkey is again close to in the 20s. But the rest of the countries go fast below. So you have Indonesia, Pakistan around 13%, Malaysia around 12%, Egypt around 8%. So if you thought that this graph was depressing, well, if you look at that, I mean, it's going further fast. So this is, again, just to give you a broad idea regarding that. However, what I'm going to argue for the remaining of my talk is that conditions in the practical level are more complex. And the question that was asked about the stem cells research, well, yeah. I mean, in Iran, stem cell research is going on. It is also going on in Malaysia, in Turkey, in Egypt. And here is Ayatollah Khomeini, who over there visiting the stem cell institute. And in fact, he also issued a fatwa. And so normally we think about fatwas as in a negative connotation, but he actually had a fatwa that to make Iran a leader in sciences in Asia within the next 10 years. So that was also considered in there. Now, here is a biotechnology institute. So this is biotechnology and informatics at Balochistan University. And I explicitly picked that out. So this is in Pakistan. And Balochistan usually shows up in the news because this is like the frontier regions. This is where a lot of bad things are happening. Well, here you have this major. And they include a course on evolution. And if you look at the description of evolution, it's like no different than any place else. Now, the science foundations of 14 Muslim countries actually signed a statement that explicitly says, so this is just the underlying part, that commonalities in the structure of the genetic code of all organisms living today, including humans, clearly indicate their common primordial origins. And this is signed by Science Foundation of 14 countries, Muslim countries, including Iran, Egypt, Turkey, Pakistan, and Indonesia. So it's not just straightforward rejections. There are more things that are happening. Well, we are going to hear a lot about it today, but evolution is in school textbooks. So, for example, in Pakistan, and here is a cover of it, here is a chapter in the 12th grade biology book, here's evolution, but on top of it, you have an epigraph that says that there's a verse from the Quran, and he is who had produced from a single being. So there is a text, and evolution is presented as a fact of science. There is no mention of religion in the text, when the science is being produced. Now, we're going to see, like, you know, that how teachers present it, that's another story. But that's what the textbooks are. Now, one thing I should also clarify, one thing that is missing in here, after this chapter on evolution, you will have a chapter on ecology, you will have a chapter on biotechnology, but no mention of human evolution. It's just not there. And that is actually usually the case, same thing in the Balochistan University also, no course on human evolution. Now, of course, things are not simply on the positive side. On the negative side, as Tanner mentioned, opposition to evolution is growing in Turkey. There have been cases where medical students in England and in Holland, they have cited like Harun Yahya's work in their papers. There have been conferences about Harun Yahya, including in Pakistan. So there are both of these strands are there where there are some positives and some negatives. So let me illustrate some of the views how religious scholars in Pakistan have been looking at it, and I'm going to look at some of the popular ones and how they perceive these issues regarding evolution and whether they also exhibit some of the complexities that I've been talking about. So this is Javed Ahmed Ghamdi, and he's one of the most popular television, a religious scholar, if you might. And he's known for his more liberal views, relatively liberal views, I should put it in, relatively liberal views. Regarding Quran and science, he says that, well, look, Quran is not a book of science. He explicitly says that. He said, well, it provides, its primary purpose is to provide guidance. So if you ask a question about specific things about science, it's like, well, Quran doesn't have to say anything about that. However, he also says that, well, occasionally when Quran is talking about something else regarding guidance, it may mention something that is relevant to science. When it does, it cannot be wrong. So he had a program, actually, a few months back, which explicitly dealt with the theory of evolution. And the way Ghamdi responded to that, and here are some of the key aspects to it, he said, well, evolution, I totally accept the principle of evolution. And he said, well, the universe has evolved. Of course, evolution happens everywhere. Evolution of the universe, no problem. But then he also talked about the development of an embryo. And one of the confusion that comes in is the word for evolution in Urdu is irtaka, which unfortunately means both the development and evolution. And so a lot of the times when he was asked this question, well, what do you think about evolution? He said, well, of course I accept evolution. Look at the embryo. Like, you know, they said, you don't see grown-ups being born. You see a little baby and, like, you know, then they grow up. So a lot of the times he mentioned regarding that. But when explicitly talked about biological theory of evolution, he rejected it. And he considers it a science fiction. And the reasons why he gave, again, is the standard, the missing fossil records, missing links, and evolution is just a theory, and these type of things. And he explicitly puts biological evolution in opposition to the Quranic view. And he explicitly said, well, there has been no change in species. So this was Gandhi's view. He explicitly rejected evolution, and then he went that there is no change in species. Well, here is another person, Dr. Esrar Ahmed. He's sort of like the most popular Islamic scholar in the 80s in Pakistan. He's still alive. And in his book, he talked about Darwin, and this is his quote, "Darwin, too, was not entirely wrong in asserting the human biological evolution, which is a fact in respect of the natural development of the earthly or animal part of the brain." Now, when I read that, I was like, oh, this is quite positive development. I mean, Esrar Ahmed, he has quite influence in Pakistan, and he is explicitly saying, look, there are two parts. One is the spiritual part, one is the animal part, as he calls it, and Darwin was not entirely wrong. And in fact, I recently gave a talk, and I used this quote, and I was like, oh, Esrar Ahmed, look, he's saying that. That's great, like, you know, in the sense of whatever you have limited options, so you take whatever you can get. But then I followed up on him, and he also recently had a show in which he talked about evolution, and he referred to evolution of the universe. He said, yeah, of course I accept it, and he talked about world of matter and world of spirits, and he said, well, Homo sapiens, well, Allah injected the spirit to the first human beings, and then now that animal becomes man. I'm like, okay, all right, well, that can sort of like possibly compatible. But then when asked specifically about biological theory of evolution, he rejected it. And he said, no survival of the fittest. This is completely wrong. And he put it explicitly in opposition to the Quranic view. And again, the reasons for rejection, going back, one of the ones, the usual popular one, well, evolution is just a theory, and the other one is, well, if there is a connection with animals, then where are we looking at morals? Where are we getting our morals from? And he said, well, we should look up for morals and not down, referring to the animals. And then again, he goes back and same thing, that there is no change in species. So it's interesting, like, you know, that the quote right up on top versus the way he rejected it actually is contradicting each other, but he explicitly rejected a biological evolution. Now, Maududi, one of the most influential Islamists from South Asia, and he's the he had a commentary on the Quran, and he also talks about Darwinism, and this is what he has to say. It is very difficult for us to understand the exact nature of the creation of the first man. However, it is quite clear that the story of man's creation, as stated in the Quran, is quite different from Darwinism. The Quran says that man started his life as man, that in the entire history he has absolutely no connection whatsoever with any non-human state. Allah created him as man from the very first day of his life on the earth. Now, Maududi is highly influential. His words carry a lot of weight. This is in the commentary of the Quran, and that explicitly talks against Darwinian theory of evolution. But you read further, and he says, the most that can be said in this connection is that both the theories of the creation of the species may be equally possible. Their creation might have taken place according to the Darwinian theory of evolution, or each of the species might have been brought into existence individually. We're like, wait a minute. So he explicitly puts it, well, of course it's wrong. And by the way, if it's right, that's okay too. So it says, well, I mean, Darwinian theory of evolution is of course wrong, I mean, it, from the Quranic perspective. But if it is right, well, then God may have worked through Darwinian theory of evolution. Well, but this is a really important point because, again, first of all, I mean, again, as I said, like, now, Maududi is highly influential. This is in his commentary in the Quran. But the way he is modifying it by leaving this door open, that, yeah, of course it's completely wrong, but if it is right, well, then that's how God worked. So just to summarize, there is, first of all, I mean, again, regarding the objections, there is widespread misunderstanding of biological evolution. These scholars also talk about the Islam and science harmony. They talk about evolution in the universe. They accept those type of things. But usually the opposition is centered around no change in species and on the moral implications of common descent. But usually you find that there is no real discussion. What if biological evolution is correct? When these questions were asked, for example, with Gandhi or with Dr. Israr, their answers went pushed. Well, what if evolutionary theory is right? And their response is, but it's wrong. You know, but what if it turned out to be right? The only person who really addressed that is Maududi, who says, if it's right, then God did it that way. Okay, so that leaves a bit of a wiggle room. Okay. Now, of course, as Tanner mentioned, so I'll go quickly, there is opposition from the academics also. Sayyid Hussain Nasr, he's already been mentioned, and so this is just a quote, like, you know, that about, he connects it to the modernity, and he said theory of evolution, the peg of the tent of modernism. And then you have Muzaffar Iqbal, who's in Canada, and he edits a journal, Islam and Science, and he also talks about no change in species. The ant and the honeybee have always been the ant and the honeybee and will always remain so. And he's a chemist by training, so you also have opposition to evolution coming from academic circles. But let me turn, by putting all of these things together, the question is that, well, what is the future of the acceptance of evolution in the Islamic world? And so I will take sort of like a similar trend that that Tainer did. Let's look at some of the positives and the negatives regarding that. Well, on the positive side, there is no clear-cut doctrinal opposition because of the vagueness, the way the Quran can be interpreted. And there have been ways to appropriate theory of evolution. So a lot of the people that sort of like accept the theory of evolution in the Islamic world, a lot of the people point, well, perhaps evolution was actually, the idea of biological evolution was given by Muslims in the first place. And they talk about, well, I mean, there are some early scholars in the 9th century, in the 11th century, they were, most of the time, they were actually talking about some Greek ideas. But they said, well, this idea, Darwin didn't come up with this idea, this idea was a Muslim idea to begin with. So that is one way of appropriating it.
Oh, that's right.
So that is one way of appropriating it. That justifies it. They say, okay, well, this is not a threatening idea. This is not an idea coming from outside, but this is an idea from within in the first place. Now, comes in the dominance of the harmony model, the idea that science and religion, well, are compatible. Well, that exists. Okay, and this is an acceptance of science as the way to understand the world. That, well, science, and again, most of the times it is used as technology, but that narrative exists. That it is essential for progress. We need to use that. And combined with that, the practical applications, people may find ways to justify accepting evolution. And there are ways they can justify accepting evolution because of the vagueness in the Quran, but there are ways that they can do that. And then there is also an influence from the Catholic Church, which accepts Darwinian evolution. And so here is a case where it provides a way for Muslims to think that, well, it doesn't have to deal with the materialist aspects. Well, the Catholic Church really is not an atheist organization. And so, maybe if they accept it, perhaps there is a way to accept evolution in a similar way. And so that can provide a model for that. But there are negative direction also. And one of these is the religious implications of human evolution. And a serious debate about evolution and its compatibility with Islam has not really taken place. But there is a lot of misinformation and this connection of evolution and atheism that exists today. If that connection continues, that can be a problem. Similarly, the political aspects come in. There is the growing anti-Western feeling. If evolution is connected to a theory borrowed from the West or imported from the West, if there is anti-Western feeling, there is a backlash against that. There is the blurring of the evolution-secular divide. And the impact of some of the new atheists, which explicitly link evolution with atheism. Now, if you give a choice, if you present evolution as a choice between accepting evolution or believing in religion, it's a no-brainer. Doesn't matter how strong the evidence regarding evolution is. Religion is so important in the Islamic community, if it is presented as a choice, they will always take religion. So if in terms of the way the debate is shaping up, probably it will shape up in the next 5 or 10 years because of the internet, rising education levels. If this dominant narrative that takes place regarding evolution, if it goes in the direction that, well, whenever you mention evolution, it gets equated with atheism, then there is a high likelihood that Muslims are going to reject in mass the theory of evolution. Okay, so I'm going to close in by some of the things that we have started to work on by looking at how Muslims are actually dealing with the theory of evolution at a practical level. We conducted a pilot study on Pakistani medical doctors who are practicing here in the U.S. And they're all educated in Pakistan, but they came here and they're all practicing it. So at the top, the green one, so we had interviewed about 15 medical doctors, so the very small numbers. But the green are the people that accepted biological evolution. There are about 4 people. The blue part, light blue, these are the ones who are unsure of evolution. So we asked this question, people who accepted or were unsure, do you think human evolution is possible or not? Well, all the people who accepted evolution actually said, yes, human evolution is possible, no problem. The people who were unsure of evolution, they were also unsure about human evolution. When we ask this question to the people who rejected evolution and also the people who were unsure, do you think non-human animal evolution is possible? And pretty much almost everybody who rejected evolution thought that, well, even non-human evolution is not possible, except for one person who said, well, it may be. Well, this is a bit of a complicated. Then we asked them about how do you think species got created? And so we gave them four different choices. So let me talk about it first. A is basically that all species, including humans, evolved over millions of years, but God guided the process. So this is like a theistic evolution. B was, well, the evolution happens, but God had no part in the process. C was God created humans, but all other species have been created over millions of years. And D was that God created humans and all other species in the form they exist today. So this is the classic creationist argument. And what we found was that the people who rejected evolution to begin with, they all fell into that God created all the species in the form they exist today. Again, no change in the species. What was interesting was that people who accepted evolution, even they were unsure. So yes, two of them, like, you know, talked about, well, theistic evolution. One actually said that God created humans and all other species in the form they exist today. So you go like, okay, so, and I was conducting the interviews, and of course when you're going through these interviews, you cannot raise your hand and say, but wait a minute, but didn't you say that species evolved? You can't say that, okay? So, but anyway, but this is what we find. Like, you know, that we say, well, yeah, a person who accepted evolution and said, well, God created all species that are in the form. But what we find is that the people who are unsure, they're all over the map. And that, again, this is one of those things that people are actually still thinking about. These processes are going. Now, the reason why we picked medical doctors to talk about it is because these are the people who at least are more familiar with biological studies. They have heard of biological evolution. So that's what we were trying to look at that. And then we looked at the question regarding the connection with medicine. Part of the reason is that how do we create a narrative, whether the pragmatic aspects of evolution play a role in people's acceptance of evolution or not. If we find that people have a strong inclination that, well, evolution and medicine are connected together, and that's why evolution should be accepted, well, that may be a way in which we can stress that aspect. So what we wanted to see, that how do medical doctors see the role of evolution playing up in evolution? And again, what we find is that the people who actually reject evolution mostly see no role of evolution in modern medicine. So that may be one thing, that if we want to promote evolution in the Islamic world, maybe perhaps that, emphasizing the practical dimensions, may change this picture. And again, most of the people actually saw that, yes, there is a connection between them. So what we want to do, we are just initiating this study to expand the survey of Muslim physicians and medical students. And what we are trying to do is to expand, sort of like benching up on to the study that is being done here at McGill, to look at five Muslim countries in Egypt, Iran, Malaysia, Pakistan, and Turkey, and they again represent different cultural and political status, and also three Muslim diasporas, Germany with Turkish doctors, England with Pakistani doctors, and U.S. with both Pakistani and Turkish doctors, and again, Pakistan and Turkey falling under pretty much the two extremes in terms of religion and politics and religion and culture. And we intend to do interviews with physicians and doctors and medical students. And here are some of the collaborators that we are working in. By the way, I should mention that the previous work with the Pakistani doctors here in the U.S. was actually done with the help of Don Everhart, who's an undergrad student at Hampshire College, and we've been working together on this thing. And includes, our team includes, again, people from education, sociology, philosophers, and different people. And I will end saying that the future of evolution in the Muslim world ultimately depends on who gets to shape the narrative of evolution in the Muslim world. Currently, this narrative is being driven by the creationists. And we've mentioned the name of Harun Yahya, for example. And he's the one who is driving the agenda. He's the one who's bringing up this aspect that evolution and atheism are linked together. perhaps an alternative narrative can be created with the help of scientists and education people, which can drive that, well, evolution doesn't necessarily lead to atheism, and there are ways of accepting it. And I don't have a book, but I have a blog, if you are interested, so I will plug that soon. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, that was a great talk. You mentioned actually two points. One of them is the fact that evolution is regarded as something coming from the West, which is unfortunately very true, and which is unfortunately also very general, because in fact only evolution touches many aspects of human rights, democracy. He almost actually makes you feel that everything that the West has achieved is almost out of reach now, because the biggest arguments that you get from people who are very fundamental is you are bringing us something from the West, and basically the second argument is you are sympathizing with the West, and then you are discredited, and whatever you have to say is discredited too. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something probably we should look more into in detail. The second point that I would actually call the chronology of acquisition of knowledge is, if you take somebody for like a certain number of years from childhood, and
I don't want to be rude, but you have a question?
Yeah. Okay. So I think, especially for evolution, when a child is exposed for a long period of time to brainwash, and you bring them evolution at the university level, they basically don't see it. Do you have any?
I think there will be other people actually talking about this aspect. I completely agree. I mean, I think evolution is such a fundamental idea. In terms of the sciences, especially the biological sciences, I think we should not wait for it to get to the university level or even the high school level. I think it should be integrated way early, and I think people here are working on the curriculum that actually includes evolutionary ideas almost at the elementary school level. And it shouldn't be a threat. I mean, this is what it is. I mean, this is how the world works. It should not be taken up as a political threat later on. Yes.
If you ask any Muslim today who the most influential scholars they know are, they will mention the name Ibn Khaldun. What you did earlier on in your presentation is that you sort of brushed off and laughed about the idea of any Muslim ever agreeing or coming up with the idea of evolution. But Ibn Khaldun, 500 years before evolution, wrote a book, Al-Muqaddimah, mm-hmm. specifically outlining the process of evolution. Mm-hmm. And he's a very famous Muslim scholar.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to understand it.
There are the ideas regarding the species changing. That has been around for a longer period of time. Ibn Khaldun did it, but even before Ibn Khaldun, there are a couple of Al-Jahiz, his name comes up, where they talked about the species kind of changing. But there is a big difference between the process that they explain, because usually it is, well, the species have changed looking at the shape, versus the kind of mechanism that was provided by Darwin. So natural selection. So the idea, again, this gets confused. Like, Darwin did not give the idea of evolution. I mean, he provided the mechanism behind evolution. Now, even if you go back from Al-Jahiz, you can go back to the Greek philosophers also, and they were also contemplating about the change of species. So what I meant regarding that was not in the context that nobody ever talked about evolution. In fact, the way, and one of the reasons I said, like, no, that's how people are appropriating it, and that may be one way. That, look, if the idea of the change of species is threatening, well, that idea was also discussed by, for example, Ibn Khaldun or Al-Jahiz. It's not a foreign idea. So I actually don't think that that was my objection. I mean, I was just referring to that people forget about the mechanism that Darwin provided, and that was not given earlier on. That's what I was specifying.